Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, hello, everybody. And I must tell you, I am really excited about this show today. My guest is Stella Mountain. She is the co-owner and president of Natabba African Safaris. Welcome to the show, Stella.
Hello, Marcia. Thank you so much for having me today.
Of course, and I've had the pleasure of you and your husband, Robin, on my show in the past, and I know he's back in South Africa today, but I'm thrilled that you can join me from your offices because you do have an office based here in the States in Louisville, Kentucky. So, you know, if Robin was on this side of town, he'd certainly be joining us, but because I know he is your partner, and I don't know a man that loves his mm-hmm. wife more than he loves you. That is just definitely mm-hmm. the truth. So why don't you just, for those people that have never heard our shows before, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. I will be glad to do that. As Marcia was saying, I am Stella Mountain. I was born in South Africa. I was raised and born in South Africa, spent my first 40 years in South Africa, and then moved with my family, my husband and our three children to USA for Robin's job. And, that's really what we are. So we've been here in the States for almost 25 years. We've done various things, but one of the big things that we started 20 years ago was a safari. So Natabba African Safaris, it grew out of passion for Africa and people wanting to go and say, you know, when you go back, please take us along. So that's what happened.
Well, I love that. And I didn't realize it's been 20 years that you started your business. How did it come about that you decided to do this, you and Robin?
Yeah, so as I was mentioning, we had so many people that we would get in touch with here in the USA. Of course, our accent has always been there, and they would say, where are you from? And then we would say, South Africa, and they say, oh, I would love to travel to South Africa. Please take us along when you go back. And so this, you know, we had so many people say that, and Robin just collected those business cards of everybody who was mentioning that, and most of them who had a business card with them. So the time came that we had our green card sorted out. We had everything fine that we could leave the country, the USA, and come back. So that's when Robin decided, you know, we're going to South Africa. We might as well arrange a trip. So he got hold of his dad, and he called on dad and said, please arrange a safari for us. And that's what happened. So he traveled to South Africa with our two youngest children, and it was, I think, 30 guests, 30 clients who traveled with them, and they all had an amazing time, a marvelous time. And, of course, Robin, being the gregarious person, he loved it. He loved showing and, you know, showing our beautiful country to the clients. And so he came back and he said, you know, Stella, I think we need to start a company doing this. And first of all, was very hesitant because it really wasn't our line of business at all. But, you know, we started getting going. I said, if we do this, we do it properly. We registered the company. We started, did all the legal stuff that we needed to get going. And, yeah, we started slowly but surely taking groups. And then it, over the years, become more FIT, so independent travelers. And, over 20 years, we've grown this business into a huge success and have taken many people to Africa.
When people say they're traveling, and I belong to a Rotary Club, and several of the people in our Rotary Club are going to Africa. There's just something about your country
that, and South Africa specific, that is just, I mean, your website is beautiful. And it's, and I'm going to spell that out for people just because if they want, as they're listening, to visit your website, I'm going to spell it. It's Ntaba, and that's Ntabafrica, ntabaafrica.com. And by going to that, and I will make sure that that's linked on the follow-up, Stella, so that people can easily find it. But it is just, it's just almost indescribable. That was my experience that I had being there, and I'm sure I will continue to anecdotal add things to this because of it. But I think what would be interesting for people to know is Ntaba is spelled N-T-A-B-A. But what does that actually mean?
Ntaba is our last name in Zulu. So we are Robin and Stella Mountain. So it's mountain in Zulu. And when we started looking or deciding what we should call our company, we decided that mountain safaris or mountain tours wouldn't be very appealing or very unique. And I grew up in Natal, KwaZulu-Natal, on a farm, and I spoke Zulu to the local people. And we thought, you know, that would most probably be very appropriate to find a local native name. And our last name was the most common, you know, obvious one to use. So that's Ntaba African Safaris.
Interesting. How many languages do you speak?
I speak four languages. So as I said, I grew up on a farm. My mother tongue is German, South African German, and I spoke Zulu. And then when I went to school, I started learning the English language and the Afrikaans. So Afrikaans is the other language in South Africa that many people speak. And yeah, so I speak those four languages.
That's you know, it's interesting because if I didn't know that you were South African, I almost hear a British sound accent to your voice, and I don't know if other people say that, but I that's what I kind of hear when you're speaking, which I think, you know, maybe that's just me, but I think it's it's remarkable, your background. And and when people hear the word safari, I think it means a lot of different things to different people. How would you define the word safari?
Okay, the word safari actually means a long, arduous journey. And so over the years, people have turned it into thinking of a hunting safaris, because that's what came next. Many people did hunting safaris. But safaris actually is a long, arduous journey. But for us, we really concentrate on photographic safaris. So we don't promote the hunting. To us, it is the experience of enjoying and experiencing the wildlife, the country, and the people. So that is what safaris means to us.
And you know, it's funny. I was there quite some time ago, before everybody was just using their phones to take pictures, and I actually brought two cameras with myself. Shelley and I were there with Loyola Marymount University, if you might remember that, and we were there with their executive MBA program. They were there, actually, I think they were there studying the wine country, to be honest with you. I don't remember exactly. But just being able to, as you said, it is a photographic, it's a dream come true, because the wildlife, the water, the everything about your country, the people, watching the people dance in the villages. I mean, I could promote you forever to people by just saying the things that I personally experienced. I have so many photos of what I took because, as you mentioned, photography for people. I mean, where are you going to go where you're going to just suddenly see a baby elephant or a baby hippo, or the giraffes and all of those animals that were just, you know, just so visible, and they weren't being disturbed, which I also appreciated. It wasn't like, you know, we were interrupting them. They seemed very content in their surroundings. So what countries do you guys arrange your safaris in? Tell us about that.
Okay, we concentrate mainly on Southern Africa and East Africa. So I will explain a little bit about that. So Southern Africa
Please.
Is a region. So South Africa is actually a country in Southern Africa. So you get South Africa, other countries that we classify falling into Southern Africa are Zimbabwe, and why most people want to go there is because of the famous Victoria Falls. Then we've
right.
also got Botswana, we've got Namibia, we've got Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique. So those are the countries that really are make up Southern Africa. Then you also have landlocked countries such as Swaziland and then Lesotho. And those are landlocked within South Africa. Lesotho is landlocked within South Africa, and Swaziland borders Africa. So those are the countries that make up Southern Africa. So most of our clients want to go to Southern Africa, South Africa primarily, but then they say, you know what, we are so close down there, we want to see the Victoria Falls. And then, of course, Botswana and Zambia are also huge attractions. They're just beautiful countries. So that is what Southern Africa is. We classify Southern Africa. Then we also travel and arrange travel and safaris in East Africa. So the countries that we arranged in East Africa is mainly Tanzania, Kenya. We do the Rwanda as well, and that's where we do the gorilla trekking in Rwanda. That is our preferred
yeah.
country to do the gorilla trekking, which is an amazing experience. I mean, everybody should really do that. It is just a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be in the presence of those gorillas. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Uganda as well. One can do that in Uganda as well. So those are the countries that are southern, that are East Africa. We have and they can arrange also to Ethiopia. We've taken a trip there, a different experience, more cultural and, you know, just experiencing the history, and then Morocco as well. But mainly we for the safaris, when people think of safaris, they think of animals being on safari, on a game drive. That's what we do in Southern Africa and East Africa.
So to be clear, and I think I'm going to probably put a map on my blog, where is Cape Town actually located then? And like Johannesburg?
Cape Town is, Johannesburg and Cape Town are in South Africa. So Johannesburg
okay.
is more in the center of South Africa. It's really the hub where most of the flights go in and out of. That's usually where
mm-hmm.
you fly into. Cape Town is also, there are flights, direct flights into Cape Town also. But Cape Town is on the southwestern point of the African continent. And that is where the history of South Africa really started. When the first people started arriving in South Africa. So that's where a lot of history starts. Cape Town is just the most beautiful, picturesque city. It was once noted as one of the most beautiful cities in the world. Table Mountain is an iconic mountain, and that's really, the whole area is just so beautiful, the ocean around there. So also what I want to mention is you've got Cape Point. Now, Cape Point is the most southwestern point of the African continent. Cape Agulhas is actually the most southern point of the African continent, but it's a little bit further away. It's about 2 hours' drive from Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
So most people go to Cape Point, which is the most southwestern point of Africa, and that's around really where Cape Town is. And also a big attraction over there is, of course, the penguins. People don't realize that you find penguins in Africa, especially Cape Town and South Africa. Yeah, so that is South Africa, really. The main cities are Cape Town and Johannesburg. And then, of course, as far as safaris goes, the main attraction is the Kruger, the Greater Kruger area, Kruger National Park, which was started years ago. But we mainly go take our clients to the Greater Kruger, which is all those game reserves in that area.
And, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned the penguins, because that was so unexpected at Boulder's Beach. You're in Africa, mm-hmm. and you're going, penguins? And you saw so many of them, you know, and you mentioned Kruger, but just help me remember all of this, because there's just so much in my head. Where's Chobe? Where is that located?
Chobe is in Botswana. So,
okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, you visited the Victoria Falls. So that
yes,
is an easy one. Yeah, that's an easy 1 hour road transfer from Victoria Falls into Botswana, and that is the first entrance that is a Chobe. So it's the northern portion of Botswana. It's that's where the Chobe River is, and that is just a beautiful area that then connects with the Okavango Delta in Botswana, which is also very popular. And the difference between the safaris over there compared to Kruger, for example, in the Chobe area, because we've got that river, it's teeming with life, with wildlife and with birds.
Yes.
Bird life is amazing there. It is very rich. So when people go to Chobe for safari with us, they have two different game activities. So per night that you book with us, you have two game activities. In the Kruger area, it is a game drive. So morning and evening game drive. In Chobe, this is different. You have a game drive in the Chobe National Park, but then you also do a boat cruise on the Chobe River. And
right.
that is probably my favorite, because you see the animals in the river, you see the hippos, you mm-hmm. may see elephants crossing the river. It is just amazing. So it's a different experience, and that's why many people love going to Chobe, just to experience that difference, having the water
mm-hmm.
experience as well as the land experience.
And I did that too. In fact, I'm just thinking about these photos that I have framed in my house, and I have a picture of this alligator with 12,000 teeth, you know, with its mouth wide open going, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
and not only do you have these opportunities, but you have exceptional staff. You have exceptional staff that really do
yes.
take the time to explain things. And you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you might see, because I've done both of those things. I did a dawn and a dusk safari. I did the Chobe, as you mentioned. And
mm-hmm.
just as a side note, because I know this is just, people are not going to always see this, but I just have to mention something that was just shocking and like you just weren't expecting. We left early in the morning. We left at dawn, just like what you had mentioned. I think there were just nine of us in an open, just like three stacked, like three, three, and three or something like that. Maybe it was two, three, and three. But and everybody's got their cameras, and we left early in the morning, and you also provided us with wonderful accommodations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And off we go, you know. And the sun was just starting to come out. And we're just driving on the safari, and our guide is giving us information. And there's this big buffalo. Now, these buffaloes are huge, and they've got the big
mm-hmm.
horns and blah, blah, blah. And we're driving along, and out of nowhere, it appeared, came a rushing female lion. And it charged to the front of this buffalo and literally wrapped her arms around its neck and started clawing with the back claws of her body on this buffalo. And I don't think a minute, maybe 2 minutes went by, and another lion came running out and jumped on the back of this buffalo. So now this buffalo has two, this buffalo is going down. They're going to kill this buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw Mother Nature killing this buffalo. And what did we do? The next, that was at dusk. Yes, that must have been at dusk. And then the next morning, we got on that same tour, and our driver took us and knew exactly where that pride was, and there were all these cubs, and everybody was eating. And that's Mother Nature. You know, you're not going to go to the local market and buy your food. And Mother Nature was just doing its beautiful job. And, I mean, I'm sorry for the buffalo, but it was really something to watch the male lions. And I think the word pride is so interesting because they sit in such a proud way that, you know, just their existence of sitting there and looking around with that beautiful head of theirs while everybody is eating. It was just unbelievable. It was one of those experiences you'll never forget. But back to you, because I just feel so inclined to want to share my own experiences, because if it wasn't for you, I would have never seen that. What would you say is the difference between the safaris in the southern and the eastern Africa part? How are they different?
In East Africa, you really will be on your game vehicle most of the day. You travel through the Serengeti, and the Serengeti are wide open fields, plains. That's what Serengeti means. And you are just out there all day long, driving, going on going drives with your guide, and looking for animals and seeing, maybe you'll see what you've just described. So in East Africa, it's really just about the safaris. You can do a little bit of cultural experiences, visit a village or a school. We do arrange that. In East Africa, in Tanzania, we also have the Gongoro Crater, and you do game drives in the crater as well. But mainly, it is all about game drives and safari in East Africa. Kenya and Nairobi, you can do what some people like doing is spending a day in Nairobi area. They've got an elephant or a sanctuary close to Nairobi that is very popular to visit, where you can also adopt an elephant and then contribute to it. Also in Kenya, in Nairobi itself, there's also the Giraffe Center, which people love watching, are going to visit. And then Karen Blixen Museum, you know, the Out of Africa movie that showed, they've got some details about that. That is what you do really in East Africa. In Southern Africa, you have, the visit to South Africa is mainly not only safaris. People usually want to go and visit Cape Town. They want to include Victoria Falls, and they want to do the safari. So it's a varied experience. I always call it a softer entrance into Africa. It's not only safari all the time, but you have also the more cultural and scenic areas that you visit. So that's the main difference between those two, I would say.
You know, it's interesting. We haven't mentioned Nelson Mandela. And I'm visualizing this, because there's also this very exciting, I guess, bicycle ride that goes up over the, I guess, is it by Table Mountain? I can't remember where it was. People from Paris come, and it's a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And you can, I think from that location, can you see the island that Nelson Mandela was on? Is that where you see that from?
Yeah, you do see that. So Robben Island is just off the coast from Cape Town, and you can see that. It is very visible from Table Mountain also, and from Cape Town itself. So, that is an activity that some people like doing. Not everybody wants to go across.
Uh-huh.
And also remember, it is weather dependent, because if the seas are rough,
absolutely,
it's not safe going. Yeah. So we have clients visiting Robben Island. Absolutely, a lot of history. They're also in the airport in Cape Town. They've got a replica of his of Nelson Mandela's prison cell. So if you don't have time to go to the island, you can also visit there and get an idea of what it looks like. But we also in Cape Town, so we add a lot of different and interesting extra activities and extra experiences. So we're very close friends with Krista Brunt. He was Nelson Mandela's personal warden. So prison warden. So he really had a very close relationship to him, and he's written a book about, my prisoner, Nelson Mandela, my prisoner, my friend. But we, if Krista is available and around when we have clients visiting in Cape Town, we actually have him as a guest speaker. And people love that because he can relate stories from the life of Nelson Mandela, and it's really interesting. Now, another area where you can see a lot of history regarding that is also in Johannesburg. So you can go to the Apartheid Museum and Soweto, where his house was. It's now a museum, so you can go and visit that. So it really depends what clients are interested in. Do they want to spend a day in Johannesburg and see that? Do they want to go to Robben Island? So, yeah, those experiences are definitely available.
Yes, and, you know, it's funny because it was weather-related that prevented us from actually going over there. I think it was really windy or something. I can't remember the reason. But, just listening to you talk about all of this and thinking about the experiences that I had there, I would so encourage anybody that has ever had a bucket list of travel to include this and to contact you. But let's talk a little bit about safety, because I know people are concerned about that. Is it safe to travel to Southern East Africa?
Absolutely, yes. Obviously, you need to be careful where you go, you know.
Absolutely.
We live in Louisville, Kentucky, and there are a few places where I would not go at night or on my own. So I think a big thing is, you know, we wouldn't arrange safaris or trips to a place that is not safe. And should something happen, we've got feet on the ground, we've got people, we've got contact, and we wouldn't have to change things if something comes up. But generally, really, things are very safe there, both East and Southern Africa. We wouldn't take clients to Africa because our reputation is on the line as well.
Sure.
And we've never had an incident. So yes, it is safe, but as I say, you need to be streetwise. Like wherever you go, you need to just be streetwise, and it is safe. Obviously, not walking around at night late or something like that, you know.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, regardless of where you live. And, you know, I don't know if this will come up in our conversation, but it occurs to me to bring it up now to you. And that is, we went to Soweto. We saw what that was like. Do you want to tell people what's unique about Soweto?
Yeah, it's a township which was really assigned or allocated for the black population in South Africa, and that's where a lot of when freedom came, you know, that's where many people now want to go and see what it was like and what the change has been. So that is where people go to Soweto. So our guides we have specialist guides who are very, who are specialists in guiding in that area. Yeah, so they will tell you all the history of pre-freedom and post as well. So there's a lot of history over there.
And we went to a school there, and, you know, drumming is a, I'm not telling you something you don't know, but drumming and that form of dancing is so exciting to watch, whether they're young people or they're adult people, and just the way they dress and they're drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And as while I'm talking about the people, because I am a people person, and what I noticed, and it was quite obvious, there are some very, very wealthy parts of Africa, of South Africa, where, you know, people are very, very successful and they're driving fancy cars.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you could be driving down the freeway or whatever, the expressway, whatever it's called, and off into the distance, you see these big, what we would call, consider shipping containers, but what they really are encampments, and people live there. And you see, when you see people walking, regardless of what their financial abilities are, regardless, what I noticed everywhere I went was the smiling children, the smiling adults. Everybody seemed so grateful, so happy, so joyful. It was that really left an impression on me. Do you hear people tell you that?
Absolutely, yes. I think that is the big thing. You know, there's something special in Africa, in Southern Africa and East Africa as well. It's the people. They are a great part of it. Just happy, doesn't matter their circumstances, they're always happy and so hospitable. I've just had clients who are arriving back from a trip, and they just sent a text to all of us on WhatsApp and said, you know, how beautiful the people were, how friendly, how hospitable. It is just amazing. And I think that is what touches most people traveling to Africa, is the people. But then also the beauty and the wildlife. There's something really special over there, and the people are part of it, absolutely. Just happy and smiling faces, you know?
Always.
So that's really true.
Always.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter where we were. I mean, we went to villages. We saw people dancing in the streets. You know, it was just, oh, I could just go on and on. Do you only book safaris, or do you also book cultural experiences?
Absolutely, yeah, we do both. So with safaris, some people, as I was mentioning, in East Africa, that's really mainly about just being on safari and watching animals and seeing animals along the way. Southern Africa, you can do both. So most of our people want to have a good combination of a cultural, Cape Town, Victoria Falls, and then also the safari. But I've created many itineraries where people really want to go to Southern Africa and just do the safaris. They are not interested in visiting cities or, you know, big towns or, you know, Cape Town. They just want to go and experience the safari, because when you think of Africa, really most safari, because that's what you want to go, and you want to see the wild animals, the big five. So that is where you do. But we also do have cultural experiences. Even in East Africa, we can include visiting a school or Maasai village, for example. So we do a combination. And when you book when somebody contacts us to do a safari or a trip to Africa, we have a conversation with them, because we want to know what interests you. Do you want to include Cape Town? Do you want to include a cultural experience? Do you want to do shark cage diving in Cape Town? You know, there are so many different experiences. Are you interested in wines? Do you want to visit the beautiful wine country?
Exactly.
Or do you just want to experience safari in different areas? So You can do Okavango Delta in Botswana. That is just a very, it's a different type of safari or a game experience, because it's also the surrounding. It's just so peaceful in the delta with all the waterways. So you get a different feel of a safari over there. Where Chobe, I had mentioned already, you have the safari in the national park with the boat cruises. And then Greater Kruger, I haven't spoken much about that, but you
go ahead.
The
talk
the
about
Kruger,
that.
You get the Kruger National Park, which is, it says national park. So the difference there is a national park like Yosemite. Anybody visiting the national park can drive their own private vehicles, and you will just have buses, vehicles, vans, everybody just going on the game drives. And if there's a sighting, an animal sighting, say for example you see a lion next to the road, you will have all these vehicles look around, you know, stop and try and see the animal. We typically really just book clients into private game reserves in the Greater Kruger. So the difference is that that when you come across a sighting, they really only allow two game vehicles at that sighting. So it is a very much more private experience. It's also less threatening to the animals. They sort of, they're used to the vehicle, so they don't feel threatened by all this commotion going on, people trying to get closer to see the animals. So it's a much superior experience, and I think it's also better for the animals as well. Yeah, so that is the different safaris experiences there, and of course the cultural, you know, you can do that as well.
You mentioned the Big Five, and for those people that don't know, that's not a sporting goods store. So what are the Big Five? Who are they? What animals are we talking about?
All right. First of all, I want to say how this came to. The Big Five was really a term that was developed when people, it was all because of hunting. So originally people were thinking about hunting safaris. And when you were able to shoot, these were the very most dangerous animals to shoot. And it was the lion, the elephant, the leopard, the buffalo, and the rhinoceros, the rhinos. So those are the Big Five, and that term is just their stuff. So people really want to always see the Big Five because they are just the Big Five animals, but it doesn't mean that that's only the only animal. Those are not the only animals that you'll see. There are so many antelope around, zebra, giraffe. The giraffe is somehow a very big animal. Everybody loves the giraffe. They are so graceful and so beautiful. You'll get, but those are the Big Five.
I saw birds that I'd never seen before as well, because I do like birds. And I had personally never seen a bald eagle, but we definitely saw a bald eagle while we were there. And there was this other bird, I can't even remember what the name of it is, but it was walking across the lily pads. And I don't recall the name of it, but I have a picture of it sitting in this collection of photos that I took. Do you arrange specialty trips? Do you do something that's a little outside the ordinary?
Yes, we do. So one thing that comes to mind immediately is photographic safaris. I know that all our safaris are really, we don't hunt, but we call them photographic safaris. But then there are people who are really professional photographers, or photographer is high on the list, and they love taking photographs. So we do arrange photographic safaris. Also birding, there are some people who love, their big thing is to go and see how many different bird species they can identify during this trip in South Africa. And so the birds are really plentiful, as I mentioned. just so beautiful as well. So we do birding safaris. Then we also have women-only safaris. We partner with a company here in the States that arranges women-only travel trips all over the world, but they are traveling with us and doing safaris in Africa. So we do arrange speciality trips as well.
Wow, I did. Honestly, mm-hmm. I didn't know about the women only. I need to consider that. That's very interesting. And you know, what I appreciated was your attention to detail is very important. Mm-hmm. There is a mosquito issue, and so wherever we stayed, there was always netting around our beds to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
And that the attention to details can't be overemphasized on how important that is. And, you know, and also, I mean, there are certainly inoculations that you should have, and you talk to people about that to be prepared for your, you know, for your health. It's not a short mm-hmm. flight. It takes a while to get there. It takes a while to get home, depending upon where you live.
Yeah.
But it's the attention to your detail that I really respect and appreciate. So you do arrange whether they're groups or they're independent travelers. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, that is correct. So right at the beginning, we started just doing groups because we just thought, you know, that would be the best way. People want to travel in a group. But over the years, we've had more and more people say, but we've got specific times. We really want to travel as a couple. We want to do our honeymoon. We send mm-hmm. so many honeymoon couples to South Africa and Southern Africa. So over the years, our quantity of group travel has really gone over more into independent travel. We call them FIT, so fully independent travelers, and it doesn't take away from the experience because we make all the arrangements. So from the time that you arrive at the airport, there's somebody from Entebbe are going to be meeting you. And then they either escort you to the hotel, or if you need a transfer, you get transferred to the hotel. We take care of all those arrangements from the time that you land to the time that you depart to come back home. And so we do all the transfers, all the accommodation, in the safaris, the lodges, everything is taken care of. In Cape Town, we have our private guides, and we really do recommend that you get a private guide in Cape Town.
Yes.
We have got Des. Yeah, that is just wonderful. Des lives there. We've also got and Wayne. So we've got our guides who are our go-to guides in Cape Town. They live there. They're local. And they know everything that you want to ask. You can ask them questions, and they are so knowledgeable. Everybody loves Des and Wayne as well. People were just saying just now, a few days ago, I got that Wayne is a walking encyclopedia. He used to be a teacher. So, yeah, he's got a wealth of knowledge, and he shares that freely, just so friendly. And, yeah, so that is what we arrange in Cape Town, just a private guide, because you can ask questions. You can go where you want to. We have a program, but if there's some speciality interest that you have, he can take you there. So that is mm-hmm. really nice. So, yeah, we do groups. We have actually quite a few groups travel. So what we have found is there might be a group leader, somebody who loves putting trips together for friends or family or people that they travel with all the time. And so we have several of those where then we arrange these groups and that we've got a group travel. So if it's a larger group, anything from 12 onwards or so, we usually have an Entebbe guide traveling with them for the entire time, because we want to make sure that everything runs smoothly. You know, sometimes maybe just border crossings or just making sure that everybody gets checked in at the airport. So it is just easier that way. So we do groups and as well as independent traveling. And in both cases, all the arrangements are done for you. We take care of all of that.
I just thought of something else. You made me think of a memory. Many people are familiar with Niagara Falls. If you've been to New York, you're going to go to see Niagara
yes.
Falls. When
mm-hmm.
we went to the falls, and Victoria Falls, and
mm-hmm.
it was so loud, so wide, and so beautiful. And what our guide told us is that it was more powerful than Niagara Falls. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
No. Yeah.
The Victoria Falls are a must-see. If it's at all possible, one has to see those because they are so magnificent. So amazing. It is just, you know, Robin, he travels a lot with clients, and he says every time he gets there, it's like the first time, and he just goes on a knee and says, thank you, because they are just so amazing and so powerful. It is beautiful, really, really, truly, and a truly amazing experience to see those. And what is also nice, so when you visit Victoria Falls area, we do the walking tour along the falls. We have a guide
yep.
who tells you about all those different portions. But then what is also amazing is to take a helicopter flight over those falls. And
oh,
just
yeah,
to see that aerial view,
mm-hmm.
it is amazing. You see that huge the river coming down, the vastness of it, but you also see those huge falls, how long they are. And, you know, I'm not sure on all those details, you know, the heights and the length and all, but it is
right.
just amazing. It is
mm-hmm.
the world, one of the wonders of the world, absolutely.
Absolutely. Is there, I don't know how you would define this as best, but would you say that there's a best time of the year for safaris? I guess it's based on seasons, right?
Yes, season and also areas. So I will start with East Africa. East Africa has got their main rainy season in May, April and May. So I typically don't book safaris and recommend safaris in East Africa over the time. January and February is good still to go. March, it starts to get rainy. But then what is a big attraction in East Africa is a great migration. So it's a migration of the wildebeest, and there are also zebra that migrate. That great migration, the migration happens year-round in Tanzania, but the term great migration was really coined, I think it was by Kenya, because from the end of June till October, that is when the wildebeest migrate across the Mara River from Tanzania into Kenya and into the Masai Mara, which is the lowest portion of Kenya. So that is when they migrate over the river, and you see river crossings, which can be very dramatic because you've got
mm-hmm.
crocodiles in the river waiting to get a good feast there. So you see thousands of wildebeest crossing, but then also coming back into Tanzania. So that is a great migration really at that time. But the migration as such really happens year-round, because from there they go then further south, they drop their babies, and then due to air, which is beginning of the year, and so it's all beautiful time of the year, and then they go up to Grumeti, and then into across to Kenya. So that happens year-round. So for East Africa, if you want to experience a great migration and see the river crossings, then you want to travel anytime from end of, it starts in June. So it really depends on really the rains. You know the Togo song of the rains of Africa. It depends
right.
where the rains are, where the green grass is. That is where the wildebeest then follow and the migration happens. That is really, if you want to experience a great migration, that is really from June, July to October, really. That's the season.
Okay.
But as I say, for the other part, you can travel to East Africa. I've had clients travel afterwards, November. November, they've got short rains, but it's beautiful, it's green. And then December,
mm-hmm.
January, February into March, it's also still very nice, very beautiful to go. For Southern Africa and South Africa specifically, I say you can travel year round. They do have rain, so the rainy the seasons are opposite to here in the USA. So they are now going into winter, where we are going into summer. So
mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, they have Mediterranean climate, so that means they've got a cold, wet winter. So the rain starts in Cape Town, and then they've got the dry, hot summer. Whereas in further north in Southern Africa and Zimbabwe and those areas, they have got summer rainfalls and winters are dry. So it really depends. Some people don't want to really experience Cape Town when it's cold and wet. So some people don't want to go there in winter, June, July. But it doesn't mean that you're going to have rain every day. There really is no
right.
way to predict. You may have beautiful weather, but it may be a little cool. And so, yeah, Southern Africa, we say typically the best time to go is shoulder seasons. So April, May into June, and then end of August, September, October. Those are good times of the year, but
mm-hmm.
it's really beautiful all year round. I personally try and discourage people traveling over the Christmas holidays, because that is when it's so busy. The local people are taking their holidays as well in their vacation. And Cape
sure.
Town can be really very busy. So I think people traveling to Cape Town in December have a lesser experience, because it's so crowded that you
right.
don't get to go everywhere as quickly as you want to. And because of and also you've got to book way ahead of time to really get your space. So I try and discourage people traveling over there, but some people want to, you know. So
mm-hmm.
That's just my experience. If you can avoid the Christmas season, try and do it. Although it's beautiful, it's still beautiful, but very busy. Yeah, so
right.
I hope I've answered that question about the best time of the year to travel there.
I think you did, and I'm trying to think. We were there in March. That was
mm-hmm.
the month that we were there. But the focus of being in Africa to start with, in South Africa to start with, was because it was a university, Loyola Marymount University trip, and they were studying the wine industry. So we went to a
mm-hmm.
lot of vineyards, and that's where we saw geese walking all over the place. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking about that. You know, you see goats places. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just could go on and on about my experiences
yeah.
there. Do you personally accompany, or Robin, do you go with the clients when they come to you?
We can't anymore. No, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
When we started the company, Robin was on the road a lot. He traveled with most of the clients, especially the groups. So we don't accompany independent travelers, because it's just too expensive to have somebody go and have a private trip all the way. But
sure.
we have our guides in South Africa. So I was mentioning already Des and Wayne in Cape Town. We've got our guides in Johannesburg as well. So we personally don't accompany all of our clients, but Robin
mm-hmm.
still does a lot. And I'm also actually, Robin at the moment is in South Africa. He's going to be traveling with clients for the next 7 weeks, and then I'm
wow.
leaving in about 2 weeks' time, and I'm also going to be accompanying a group for part of it. So yes, we do. We try and travel with them as much as we can, but obviously there's a lot of work for me in the office that needs to be done.
Certainly.
So I don't get the opportunity a lot, And then Robin, you know, he can't be on the road all the time. But we have got very good guides and, you know, people who have got the ethos and who are like Robin and me, and we've got Ntaba at heart, and we've got the same mission, and the whole thing is having our clients have a most out of the ordinary experience that they can, and that's mm-hmm. our goal. Yes.
So, why should people book with you guys? What would you say if somebody was saying, well, you could go here, you could go there? Why should people book with you at Ntaba African Safaris?
I think, first of all, we've been in this business for 20 years, and I think that is a good track record to know mm-hmm. that, you know, we have been able to arrange safaris and successful travel. If it hadn't been there, we wouldn't be here anymore. So I think that's a good thing. Also, we are South Africans, and we've got a very good network in Southern Africa and East Africa. So we are knowledgeable. Our guides are very knowledgeable. And what many people like about us is we've got an office here in the USA. So
right.
We are on the same time zone. We can communicate. So I think that is a big thing. Also, we take care of all the payments. So you pay us here in the States with your credit card in dollars, and we take care of the hassle of getting the money to Africa. I've had several clients contact me and arranged their own safaris in East Africa or Southern Africa and say, can you please help me with the money? I'm really struggling getting money over there. And that's a big thing because
yes.
you know, you need to be set up, and it's getting more and more difficult to get money over to Africa and having, you know, even now I still get queried on some payments, you know, just as a routine, because they mm-hmm. want to know, you know, is this all legal? And so I would hate to know what it's like for independent people to have to make all those transfers and everything. So we take that hassle away for you guys. Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
And then we before clients travel, we have Zoom meetings. We have a lot of Zoom meetings with clients. Mm. Even before they, it starts really when they are interested in booking a safari. Sometimes they want a Zoom meeting to see a different, well, what can we experience? What can you do for us? So we do a lot of Zoom meetings. Robin does it a lot for us. And then we also, before people travel, we have another Zoom to just make sure that they've got all the ducks in a row, if I can put it
yes,
that way,
that so
there
to
are
speak.
No questions anymore. You know,
sure.
are they confident? Because traveling to Africa for some people is really scary, and they're scared, you know, what is going to be there in dark, deep Africa. And so talking to us, walking them through what they're going to experience is helping them so much. So that's a big thing as well, booking through us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you leave, we provide you with a jacket, with caps, a package gets sent to you.
Yep.
So you get a physical book a booklet that we make in-house. It's a small A5 book that you can easily pop into a bag. It's not one of those big ones. So we make that specially for your trip with all the information in it, tipping guidelines, you know, all your flight details, excuse me, all those details. Then we also provide you with an app that you download onto your iPhone and your mm-hmm. itinerary, and that information you can download and then have at your fingertips in that respect as well, that way. So we make sure that all the different areas are taken care of, that when our clients leave from the USA, they feel confident and happy, and they're not fearful. They know everything's taken care of. But also, the last thing that we do is we set up a WhatsApp group. So we encourage everybody to download the app WhatsApp. It's a free app that you can make free phone calls or chats. And we set up for every group of clients, either whether it's a group or whether it's just a couple, honeymoon couple traveling. We set it up, and they are they can be in touch, in contact with us all the time. They don't have to. There are some clients who travel and I never hear back from them until they come back and they say, what mm-hmm. a marvelous time they've had. Others like to say, oh, you know, can we maybe change the pickup time for this transfer to an earlier time, or can we make little changes, or, you know, the transfer hasn't arrived, and I say, don't worry, he's stuck in traffic, you know, he's coming, or any questions like that, or they can share photos. So we take care of all these little things that make that experience so much better. So
you
I
bet.
Think we are a good fit for people, yeah.
Well, I know we just have a limited time left, and I know people can visit your website, Natava African Safaris, to book. But in just the last couple of minutes that we have, do you give back? Is there a philanthropy
oh,
side of you?
Yes, a big one. So we were involved and part of starting a school in East Africa. We still visit and contribute to them. And then another big thing is Zebra. Robin and a lady living in the, she's actually Jenny Kruger.
Right.
She was Paul Kruger's great-great-granddaughter. Paul Kruger was the president of South Africa. So she and Robin started the Zebra organization. So we have taken thousands of bras over, partially
yep.
used the new bras, and that has made such a difference in so many ladies and young girls' lives in Africa. So we take them along. There's never money exchanged. We deliver the suitcases, and then they go to rape crisis centers, women's shelters, orphanages, young girls who need those. So they get distributed. And, yeah, so that is just one of those things that we do. We always like to give back. Also, coffee. We have started a coffee shop here in Louisville, and so we buy the green beans from co-ops in East Africa. So we know that every cup that you drink, every cup of Ntaba coffee that you drink, you actually help a child to go to school in East Africa. So those are the things that we want to that we do.
You know what? And here's what we're going to do, because I know we're close to the end of this podcast. I will make sure that I get those links from you, because I remember taking bras with me when we went, and I'll make sure that people will be able to figure out if there's a way that they can help your cause as well. But I just, Stella, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to be anecdotal through this conversation, because it meant so much to me to be there and to work with you guys and to meet you guys, because you're so honest, you're so real. I mean, my hand is over my heart. You are the real deal, and anybody that works with you will know that. You explained it so beautifully, and I'm going to pay attention to these independent groups and see if maybe I can find a way back. So thank you. Thank you so much, Stella, for being a guest with me today. It's just been wonderful.
Thank you, Marsha. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, everybody, pack your bags. It's time to go. And I hope that you'll join me again next week. But for now, I just want to say, everybody, have a wonderful day. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.